October 25th, 2018 at 10:03 a.m.
Item 1, call to order with invocation, presentation of the colors and pledge of allegiance.
I'll do the colors and the pledge of allegiance prayer. Those that would like to participate, please feel free. Those that don't, same.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Let us pray. God of hope, we thank you for this opportunity to gather that we might help our brothers and sisters in the fire service by conducting the business here today. We thank you for the gift of life itself and for those lives that have been sacrificed to help their neighbors and communities throughout this state. We thank you for the men and women who presently serve in their fire service, EMS, and first responder positions. As we conduct this meeting, we ask for your guidance, discernment, and remind us that we serve a greater need. Thank you for the hope that comes to all of us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Commissioners, could y'all make sure your microphones are on?
Good morning.
We don't need that song.
Okay, roll call.
Roll call. Commissioner Anderson.
Here.
Commissioner Cortez.
Here.
Commissioner Doster.
Here.
Commissioner Gonzalez.
Here.
Commissioner Jones.
Here.
Commissioner McMakin.
Here.
Commissioner Moore.
Here.
Commissioner Morgan.
Here.
Commissioner Pettis, present. Commissioner Stillman?
Here.
Commissioner Tull?
Here.
And Commissioner Whitlock?
Commissioner Whitlock has tendered her resignation, so we're still waiting on the appointments office to fill that position.
Sharma. Sorry. Commissioner Sharma.
Here.
I did. Yeah. I hadn't seen you in there, so.
Okay, item number 3.
Adoption of the commission meeting minutes of July 11th, 2018 and July 12th, 2018.
Move for adoption. Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to move for adoption of the commission of the meeting minutes on July the 11th, 2018. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 4.
The Budget and Strategic Plan Subcommittee may meet on October 25th, 2018 during the commission meeting and provide a report for discussion and possible action related to any recommendations developed by the subcommittee, including but not limited to modifications to the agency operating budget and strategic planning.
Is there any report from the Budget and Strategic Plan Committee?
Okay, hearing none. Item number five.
Number five, reports from fire service interest groups and agencies and matters related to the organizational purposes, functions, and objectives, including but not limited to the Texas Fire Chiefs Association, the Texas State Association of Firefighters, the State Firemen's and Fire Marshal Association, the Texas Fire Marshal Association, the Texas Association of Fire Educators, the Texas A&M Forest Service, the National Fire Protection Association, Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts, the Center for Public Safety Excellence, and the State Fire Marshal's Office.
Okay, representative from the Texas Fire Chiefs Association.
Mr. Chairman, with your permission, Betty asked me to pass this information along, so I'll do that now. She wanted to pass along that this week they are participating in the Texas Fire Chiefs Academy in Garland. They have 81 participants that are either in year one or year two of that program, and they're concurrently running an EMS Chief Update class alongside that. Next week is their fourth annual Line of Duty Death Conference in Hearst. There's a webcast available for those that cannot attend for a fee. The Fire Chief annual workshop is coming up in December. It's right down the road here in Bastrop. There's usually about 60 Texas fire chiefs that attend that event. And as far as best practices update, there are currently 18 recognized departments and two that are pending. And that's the end of the report.
All right. The Texas State Association of Firefighters.
Glenda Shields with the Texas State Association of Firefighters. Sorry, it's about a mile away. But we don't have a whole lot going on other than getting ready for a legislative session. A bunch of stuff coming down the pipe, mostly based on workers' comp, those kind of things. Not really getting into too much on the labor stuff. But other than that, we have a service training going on right now in San Marcos where we have a bunch of firefighters down there doing a week-long course. And other than that, any questions? Thank y'all.
State Firemen's and Fire Marshals Association of Texas.
Good morning, Commissioners. Chris Behring with the State Firefighters Fire Marshal Association. Just a couple things to report. We just finished out our third annual Fire Chiefs Development Program in which we graduated 30 fire chiefs from across the state, primarily representing ESDs and small volunteer fire departments. Mark your calendar. March 19th is the annual legislative day at the Capitol in which we honor first responders, paid volunteer, EMS, fire, you name it. All are honored that day with a memorial service and a legislative day on the Capitol grounds. It will be a Tuesday this year due to someone else taking the usual Wednesday that we have during arson school, but March 19th is the date of that. And then lastly, we just recently finished a database upgrade to our entire membership, and so far so good with that and the certification program going along with that. Any questions? Thank you all very much.
Texas Fire Marshals Association.
Good morning, Commissioners. Laurie Christensen, immediate past president, Texas Fire Marshals Association. Apologies. Our new president, John Paul Erskine from Burnett. Texas couldn't be here today. He's working on some fire prevention activities for Fire Prevention Month. We just completed our 41st annual Fire Prevention Conference up here in Austin. We had 370 attendees. All total with vendors, speakers, and special guests, we had over 400 attendees. Again, another successful year. Next year, we will have our conference in Austin. We're currently discussing possibly looking for a new location in the near future, but right now we're going to stay at the same location, which will be October 21st through the 25th of 2019. This past year, we also had our first mid-year training session. Some of the members and we've been working with SFFMA and stuff about mid-year training. We believe it was a success. We had 55 attendees. We offered our free ICC State Chapter Day. We are the state chapter representative for the International Code Council. We offered fire IFC training and fireworks training. We also want to give a shout out to the Texas Commission on Fire Protection. They worked with us to offer the fire life safety educator testing at our conference. To our knowledge, it's the first time that we've partnered with them on offering testing At a conference, we had 35 people test. I'm not sure who all passed. I did. I'm happy. But we heard great things about it, and just a great opportunity to offer that to fire service personnel. Again, I mentioned that John Paul Erskine has been appointed as the president. Ariana Hargrove is going to be the first vice president, and Omar Garza is going to be second vice president. So you'll be hearing from them in the near future at these meetings. Also, just want to elaborate that we are working on our legislative initiative. That is in full force. We also voted to donate monies to SFFMA and the Legislative Day, so we will be partnering with them and working with them on Legislative Day at the Capitol March 19th. Our monies from our raffle, which all those things haven't been put together, all of our bills from the conference haven't been paid, but the monies from the raffle we donated to the Line of Duty Death cause. So that's all I have for report. Is there any questions? Okay, thank you.
Texas Association of Fire Educators. Texas A&M Forest Service. National Fire Protection Association. Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts. Center for Public Safety Excellence.
Good morning. My name is Leonard Chan of Houston Fire Department, and I'm the chair of the Center for Public Safety Excellence Texas Consortium. The consortium strives to develop a collaborative relationship among fire departments across the state to achieve excellence through continuous improvement, peer mentorship, and professional development. Any fire department in Texas may participate in consortium activities for free. At our last meeting in August ahead of Fire Rescue International, we had 11 Texas departments attend in person. Presentations were given by Intero Group, National Fire Protection Association, Dallas Fire Rescue Research Division, and the Center for Public Safety Excellence. During the commission hearings at Fire Rescue International, Frisco and Amarillo obtained its accreditation. This raises the number of accredited departments in the state to 8 civilian, Southlake, Amarillo, Plano, Frisco, College Station, Houston, El Paso, and Cedar Park, and 3 Department of Defense fire departments. Upcoming events and training include the following. The first is Peer Assessor CE webinar on water supply today at 1 p.m. Central. San Antonio Standards of Cover presentation on November 15th at 10 a.m. This is in preparation for their peer assessor visit scheduled ahead of their March hearings. Information will be made available soon, and they appreciate any feedback. The initial peer assessor training is January 9th and 16th. We have 15 peer assessors in the state, and I personally completed 7 peer assessments of departments across the country. The Excellence Conference is March 12th through 15th in Anaheim. Education tracks this year include accreditation boot camp, data statistics and analysis, organizational progress, leadership and culture, and strategic planning. This conference does sell out, and the Texas delegation has increased each year. The quality improvement through accreditation class, this is the basic accreditation class and a prereq for any accreditation manager and peer assessor. This is April 9th to 11th in Houston, Texas near Hobby Airport, and a block of discount hotel rooms has already been reserved. And we're also working on a few projects. First is creating a guide for civilians in the fire service. This is spearheaded by College Station. And we're going to be working on a year-in-review newsletter and a 2019 calendar. Thank you.
State Fire Marshal's Office.
I got a comment for that. I just wanted to add that I met with Chief Orlando Hernandez. He is the new state fire marshal. He was interim back in the summertime, and it's of October 1st. He became the state fire marshal. The Commissioner of Insurance appointed him as state fire marshal, and he wishes us well. And I'd ask him if he could be here, and he had a conflict, but he does intend to try to come to these quarterly meetings as much as he can. So, again, I want to say congratulations from our side of this table to Chief Hernandez for being the new state fire marshal.
Item number six.
Discussion and possible action concerning reports by the commission representative to the Texas Fire School Advisory Board and by representatives of the Texas Engineering Extension Service regarding fire protection training provided by TEKS through its Emergency Services Training Institute.
Okay, our representative, Juan Gloria from McAllen, Texas, has been out with some health issues. I will go ahead and give a brief report on TEKS. We did not hold our advisory board meeting this past or during October this month due to people were very busy and weren't able to attend. So we weren't going to have a quorum, so we chose not to hold it. Just a little information on TEKS. We're still continuing our expansion plan that we've been working on for quite some time. So we're working that. We just completed our wastewater treatment upgrades. Spent about $3.9 million on the wastewater treatment system to be able to make sure that we were good stewards of the environment. Last year, we finished our fiscal year September the 1st, so we got the numbers, but we trained over 105,000 students last year. That's 50-something thousand students in College Station, and then the remainder through our extension across the state of Texas, the United States, and the world. So, we increased our number of students, so that's a good thing that we were able to do that. With that said, that's the end of the report on that. Item number seven.
Discussion and possible action regarding report from the commission representative to the Homeland Security Council.
Commissioners, I had the opportunity to attend the Homeland Security Council meeting on August 1st. Just a quick overview of the things that were covered. Duke Bodish did the welcome and introductions. He also mentioned that this was his last time that he'd be doing it. He was headed for retirement, so he'll have a replacement up soon. We also had an update from Mike George with the Texas Department of Public Safety regarding the Homeland Security Initiative statewide terrorist attack exercise. The exercise is actually scheduled for beginning October 29th, so here next week, and they expected it to probably go for about 2.5 days. It will be pretty wide-ranging, several FBI regional offices involved. Objectives for the exercise will be to assess intelligence and info sharing, and also be able to review and validate various operational plans. A lot of different jurisdictions will be involved in it. Also had a presentation from Tashara Coleman with the Texas Department of State Health Services. She is a member of the Texas Rapid Response Team, which is the team that monitors and responds to foodborne situations that they encounter across the state. So she gave a quick overview on how they monitor, how they respond, how they work with local jurisdictions on those. And finally, we had a presentation from Jason Reyes, Texas Department of Public Safety, regarding DPS and law enforcement operations at the Sutherland Springs mass shooting incident. That was, again, one of those real eye-openers. And it was interesting to hear that. I had heard a presentation previously, a few months ago, from a fire chief who had been one of the first on scene there. So I was able to see things from that perspective, and now to see it from kind of the law enforcement perspective is a real interesting presentation. That's all I have.
Tim, thanks for attending that.
You bet.
That means
glad to.
item number 8.
New matters from the commission, staff, or public, which may be discussed in future commission meetings.
Good morning, Christina Foley with Teeks, and I am here this morning to request an agenda item for the January meeting. We are asking for consideration in the rules for the instructor requirements for the courses that are part of the Teeks Pro Board reciprocity process. Specifically, we are asking that Teeks be allowed to use its own instructor requirements for those courses in place of the commission requirements.
Anybody have any questions? Does that need to be in a form of a motion?
Yes. If you would like to have it at the next meeting, it'd be good to know. I mean, you set the agenda for the next meeting, but if everybody wants to hear it, save us time. If they don't want to hear it, then there's no point in having it.
Does anybody have any concerns or anything?
Mr. Chairman, if I could get her to... Is there a burden here that we're talking about that you can explain?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So currently for the courses that are part of the Teeks Pro Board reciprocity process, the Pro Board process has specific requirements for our instructors that differ from what the commission requires. Our process allows us to use, along with certification, allows us to use people who have a subject matter expertise in that particular field. And sometimes those people, especially when it relates to industry, do not have commission certification. And as a result of that, we cannot use them to instruct those classes that we have the reciprocity for. And so we are asking that we be allowed to use our requirements for those Pro Board classes so that we can open up our instructor pool and use the best instructors to instruct those courses.
But your requirements are not our requirements?
No, they are not. We have requirements that are similar, but they are different. Yes, sir.
Is this primarily, would say, be used in the industrial school rather than municipal school or something related to that?
Yes, sir. So currently, we're seeing this issue with what we consider our specialty courses. So like our hazmat technician, our incident commander, our typical fire courses, we do not have that issue because our instructors are all typically commission certified. So we don't have an issue there. It's more in the specialty side of things.
Example?
I will let Nick speak to the example.
Nick Hickson, Hazmat Training Manager for Teeks Emergency Service Training Institute. The example, we're looking for something similar to the wildland exemption of utilizing subject matter experts with Pro Board certification for the reciprocity classes. We have several instructors, instructional staff that are subject matter experts, but they did not come from a municipal response in the state of Texas background. Currently, the requirement for to hold, to be a lead instructor on some of these deliveries, even though there's reciprocity, is to hold the certification, which they do on the Pro Board side, but they don't have the prerequisite of structural firefighter or for Marine to hold the Texas Commission on Fire Protection Hazmat, which is a requirement for the to be the lead instructor.
Mr. Chairman? Give me an example.
An example might be, for instance, we had a chemical company out of the East Texas area contact us about hosting a hazmat incident command class. A lot of times when the chemical companies request the Pro Board certification class, they offer their open seats to surrounding areas, departments in the area. We see that a lot in the Harris County and in Galveston County areas. Also, where they host a class, they pay for the municipal departments to allow some of their personnel to sit in. A lot of the times those classes are taught by someone with the same certification on the Pro Board side but doesn't hold the prerequisite materials for the Texas Commission on Fire Protection. Those students are then not allowed to get we can't pull a TPA because we don't have a lead instructor be able to be there the whole week for that delivery. Therefore, an example, Longview Fire wanted to, they went to the chemical company, and we couldn't pull a TPA for that class due to the setback of that.
Commissioner Gonzalez.
With that, I'll move to add instructor reciprocity for Pro Board to the agenda at the January meeting, as well as ask staff to present some formulated documentation on how that would move forward.
We have a motion and a second to add the request to discuss instructor qualifications for TEKS Pro Board classes, reciprocity, and a second, and staff to put together language for that. Any discussion?
Will this be brought to the advisory board committee also?
Absolutely. Okay. If we bring proposed rule language change to you all and you approve it for publication, it has to go to the Firefighter Advisory Committee.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, is this like a variance?
Yeah, this would be an exception to the rule, similar to that we already provide for wildland courses. It's not. I mean, we have a precedence that we've already done this in another situation.
If they tell you to teach a class, you get the RTCFP certification, they could not use your.
That's right.
Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you.
Anybody?
Item number 9.
Discussion and possible action on future meeting dates.
Yeah, that's you.
That's you, Deb.
You're on.
Oh. Okay, January 16th and the 17th. The workshop on the 16th, meeting on the 17th.
Had that already been voted on?
No, there's just not. These are the dates that the rooms are available.
Okay.
That's it?
That's what I'm giving you, yeah.
January 16th, 17th?
Mm-hmm.
How's everybody look for January 16th, 17th? 16th will be a workshop, 17th a commission meeting.
That's the third week of January. Typically, we meet the fourth, don't we? Fourth week of the month.
Yeah, it's not available.
This is 2 o'clock, 2 p.m.?
On the 16th.
On the 16th, and then 9 a.m. on the 17th.
Doesn't work for me, but that's okay. It's what it is. That's why I like to have them on the 4th of the month.
Workshop would begin at what time?
2. Everybody look good on that?
Mm-hmm.
You want to do them all? Want to do them all? I have all the
results. Yeah, let's do the year.
Okay.
We did get a lot. We had been restricted previously, and they have granted.
Can we try to keep them back to the fourth of the month?
Yeah. April is the 24th and 25th. I booked the 24th and the 25th.
Okay.
But if we don't need it, you could just do the 25th or the 24th.
April will be the 25th?
Yeah.
Or the 24th.
That would be Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah. Okay.
But if you need
everybody
to
good with that?
25th.
What was 11?
And now we're going to start at 10, right?
Yes.
And it starts at 9.
16th and 17th.
There's no workshop in April.
That's from 9?
Yeah. So
April 10.
They start at 10.
Okay.
10.
Okay, gotcha.
All right.
Okay, July 17th and 18th. 17th for the workshop, 18th for the committee.
That's a good one for me. It gets me out of annual schools.
Try.
Is that week?
Is that
week?
Well, that's one of them.
That's one of them.
We do 3 weeks of
right.
them.
Right.
So, yeah.
July what?
I'm wondering. Okay.
What was the July dates again? 17th
for the workshop, 18th, 18th. That's all that was available.
Okay.
Okay, and then next October will be the 24th.
October 24th. All right, everybody good?
Good.
Okay. All right.
You're still around.
Okay. Item number 10.
Matters referred from the Firefighter Advisory Committee, including but not limited to discussion and possible final adoption of proposed amendments, new sections, and repeals as follows. 1. Discussion and possible action regarding proposed amendments to 37 TAC, Chapter 449, Head of the Fire Department.
Commissioners, we're going to also pass out an additional sheet of paper. It's actually a minor addition that we're staff has recommended to be added to this. It was presented to the Firefighter Advisory Committee in their meeting, so they've seen it as well. Chief, if you want to point it out, or I can point it out.
Go ahead. Mike Wisco, Firefighter Advisory Committee. I'll wait for her to get those passed out and talk about that first.
Thank you. So the little bit of additional language that was added since you voted to publish the rules, and this is staff's recommendation at this point, is in 449.1A, and it's the last statement in that subsection where it says the requirements of this subchapter also apply to an individual who is appointed on an interim basis to head of a suppression fire department. That is how we have managed it for a long time now. There were never any rules in place either way, so the agency took that position and said even if someone's going to be appointed interim, they still have to be qualified for the position. Sometimes because we find that the individual who is appointed to interim ends up becoming the permanent chief anyway. So if we're going to continue to do that, then we would recommend going ahead and putting some rule language in there to make it clear, unless you direct otherwise. Chief?
The rest of the proposal there is just some, it was a rule revision, and then it was changed up a little bit to put the requirements on the front end to make it a little less confusing. So that's the only other change other than what was presented here this morning.
Just reformatted?
Yeah, they just reformatted, put the requirements up front.
So in order to hold this certificate, they will have to be a commissioned firefighter?
That's one option.
It's an option.
You have actually four options there.
So any one of the four.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right.
And none of that's changed. All they did was they moved all the requirements to the front. That was
no problem.
Was and then this language about the interim requirement.
Okay. Question.
You have a definition of employed.
And would it be 32 hours a week full time? Is it compensation of a part-time basis?
The way we've managed that till now, there's rule language that indicates when someone becomes what would be considered part-time at what point you can no longer be a volunteer. Let me say it that way. If you've hit that point in compensation where I think it's 2,080 hours times minimum wage, right, that 15 grand a year, about whatever that is, at that point you can no longer be a volunteer. You then would have to be considered, for our purposes, employed. Okay. You'd have to show up in FIDO. You'd have to be appointed and the whole thing.
Okay.
Mr. Cole?
During the advisory committee, did you have any negative input on these changes at all?
Not really. I mean, it, from personal experience, and I think probably every chief sitting in here, as soon as you submitted your name as the interim, you were required to get it. So I think they're just adding the language there for something that's been the process all along.
Move for final adoption.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to move for final adoption. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. Item 10-2, discussion of possible action regarding proposed amendments to 37 TAC Chapter 455, minimum standards for wildland fire protection certification.
Again, a rule revision, but we wanted to update some of the training that could be used towards this. You'll find it under 455.5, which is the second page. We'll see what was added there.
Move for final adoption.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to move for final adoption, minimum standards for wildland fire protection certification, Chapter 455. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
That's all there.
Item 11, discussion and possible action regarding proposed amendments to 37 TAC Chapter 429, minimum standards for fire inspector certification.
Okay. So what you have in front of you is a new inspector chapter where the plan examiner component of the inspector certification has been pulled off and is now its own standalone state certification. So in essence, what you'll do here today, if you propose or approve to go forward with this, we would be repealing the current inspector chapter. We'd be replacing it with this new chapter here, new verbiage. So what you'll see is subchapter A, your fire inspector certification consists of inspector 1 and 2, and then your plan examiner certification is now subchapter B, and it's plan examiner 1 right now. But that would also allow other levels to be added in the future if y'all decide to do additional levels. There is an inspector 3 out there. There's a plan examiner 2, I think, that y'all could adopt later if you wanted to. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I've highlighted some things there, mainly just for emphasis, just to point those out. I'm on page 43. Y'all have page numbers on your thing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's there is in 429.1E. Per request from the committee, we've added some language there. That grandfathers people who are holding an inspector certification that was issued prior to, and we're using March 1 of 2019. Our recommendation here is going to be to make that the effective date for this new chapter. And that'd be an easy way to do it. That way it's not just 20 days after we get notified from the Texas Register. You're setting a date-specific effective date here, and I think it'd be a lot cleaner to do it that way. Of course, just below that, I'm indicating there that that's your new inspector certification, that it would be inspector one and two, those components. At the bottom of that page, I highlighted letter C regarding the successful completion of the college courses. We didn't remove, although we removed the plan examiner component from this certification, we didn't remove any of the college courses there, mainly because we weren't sure that we should. And some of y'all who are probably more familiar with the fire code enforcement world would know whether we should go ahead and keep all of these courses there or whether we could remove any of those. We've left them all in place at this point. We didn't know whether removing plan examiner would allow one of these college courses to be removed. Based on what we were seeing, it didn't look like we should, but.
All right, I'm going to open it up for discussion. Commissioner Gonzalez.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for taking the time to develop this committee on this this issue. I know that there were several commissioners as well as advisory members on the committee that kind of formulated this, and we thank you guys for your time. I think this is something that we can come together on. I hope to really kind of put this to bed and to kind of meet different areas of need from administrative to line to kind of get this moving in the right direction that we want to. I can tell you that, you know, I'm in support of it, as I've always been in support of it the last year and a half that we've been doing this, and I've always supported that the inspector one and two need to be combined together for a single certification. If the plans examiner is a separate certification, I think that helps work this out. In addition, I think that this action today on the proposal or submitting this for publication will help in the future for training in plans examiner. So if we take plans examiner as it currently stands, it's combined with inspector one and two. The training that you get with plans examiner is very minimal currently. And it does make it very difficult for plans examiners to pass that section of the test because the training is not equivalent to what you get in the Inspector 1 and 2 section of the course. By separating this out, we hope that, and my wishes would be that we develop training specific to plans examiner and to increase the level of training that people get for plans examiner and increase the score and the level of participation in plans examiner to increase the level, first of all, of training and then increase the capability that they're doing on the testing. So that would be a side note that this may be able to do that with, and I want to appreciate that. I did have the opportunity to visit with Texas Fire Marshal Association, a bunch of its members last week at their conference, and overwhelmingly would support this. I do feel that I'm leaning. You have two options there in front of you, commissioners. Option one is mandatory plans examiner. Option two is voluntary. I can tell you from the discussions I've had with numerous industry fire marshal associations and groups that they would be leaning to the mandatory requirement of the plans examiner. With that being said, there is a grandfather in there, so all those folks that are worried that we're pre-2005 and fire inspectors out there, there's absolutely a capability in this both language for Inspector 1 and 2 and language for plans examiner to grandfather those folks that were pre-2005, and to be honest with you, that would grandfather everybody pre-2019 as the proposed language is in front of you.
Mr. Chairman, when you say voluntary on the plans examiner, explain that exactly what you're saying. I mean, I read it, but I just...
Well,
Tim, can you tell us?
The difference between mandatory and voluntary certifications as it exists now in all of our rules, if you're required to hold that certification, if you're appointed to those duties, if the rule language says you're required to hold the certification or to obtain it within a year, that's a mandatory certification.
Okay.
Anything else would be considered?
Plans examiner, that mandatory or voluntary, or the mandatory part of it, if that was passed, would be up to the department that is assigning that person to those duties.
It is going to create a new module, if you will, in the FIDO system, just like our other mandatory appointments. There would be an appointment there. And so our rules would apply then to this particular certification, whereby if someone is assigned to those duties,
right,
as part of their regularly assigned duties, they have to be appointed. And if they're appointed,
they have to be certified.
They have to be certified, and then what comes from that is the attendant required CE. Yeah, it just becomes just like the other certification.
Yeah, that's the way we're doing it today.
Yes, sir.
Correct. Okay. Wanted to make sure that was clear.
Any further discussion?
Yeah, I want to reply to Tim's issue on the college courses that you mentioned. Having spent 35 plus years in the building construction business and pre-engineered steel building business, I don't see a problem with any of those. And from a being a firefighter on there, I think this would, they need to stay there. I don't see that as being a burdensome issue on anybody. And I can certainly understand that they need that information and that knowledge. So I would recommend that they stay.
Right. I would make a motion that we accept the option one. That's so, the plan.
Hang on your motion just a second. I want to give
opportunity to
make comments.
Commissioners, thank you. My name is James Mallinger. I'm the fire chief in Cedar Park, Texas, and I am speaking for Chief Danny Kistner, Chief Les Stevens, and a few others that weren't able to be here today. I do want to thank you for all your work on this. I know it's been a long 3 years, but I unfortunately do not support what y'all are about to do. When we met with commission members, T-staff members, fire marshals, fire chiefs, and we put a committee together, we said what we currently do, if you work in the fire marshal's office, is very important, and we don't want to change it at all. We want all three certifications if you're in fire prevention. And we asked y'all to look at a company officer certification to go out and do inspections if you're on a fire truck. That is in your documentation from July of 2016. What we are doing today does take 40 hours or one course away, but it doesn't answer the question of what is the minimum number of hours or what minimum training you need to do this type of inspection. We follow the NFPA document for our job requirements for this position, and if I can read one small section out of NFPA, it specifically says this committee, the NFPA committee, is that individuals at the fire inspector one level perform basic safety inspections. Individuals at this level can include firefighters who are normally assigned to fire suppression and other individuals who are primary job responsibilities are not in fire suppression. So we are taking part of a standard saying this is what the class must cover, this is what they must know, but then we're saying you can't do the work that that same standard says you can do. So I think we're going down the wrong path. I was really hoping we could come to agreement on something different than this that will benefit the fire service. We came as fire chiefs, every major department except for Houston, the state fireman and fire marshal's office, and a bunch of medium-sized communities saying we need a change, and the change y'all are about to do is not what all of us who represent the majority of the firefighters in Texas and the citizens of Texas who we take care of. We are not doing what we said we need to do to make this accessible and better for the fire service. I'm going to tell you what you're doing today will not change anything. We are still going to have inspections not being done because this is a requirement is much more than anyone else in the nation has to do. And I feel it's going to be less safe. It's going to stay the safety issues it is today. If they're not being done, how is that less safe than someone with a national certification doing an inspection that they say they should be able to do? And that's not what we're offering today. I do thank you for your time and for what y'all do in
this
position.
I'd like to ask the chief a question, Mr. Chairman. The burden that you're explaining is to split the one and two up or something? Or
no,
I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
All we're asking is to add a company officer inspector certification that only entails fire inspector one. Don't split anything else. We want all three of those classes together. If you're in the prevention department, I have four inspectors now. I got a new inspector this year and a battalion chief, all that are doing all my new inspections. I've grown from 6,000 people in 1996 to 100,000 people today in Cedar Park. They can only keep up with annuals on new stuff and the ones that are required by law. I do not have annuals done in my community right now, and this isn't going to help me get there. I'm sorry. It's just not.
You don't have the flexibility to manage your department the way you see fit?
I am adding training dollars. I'm adding overtime dollars. I'm adding new positions. But I have to take care of 100,000 people and 200 hours of training. And now we're going to take a little bit off of that for someone who's sitting on a fire truck and not going to use the majority of that because they're never going to be assigned to fire prevention is wasting time and resources of my community.
I'm wondering if you worked with our advisory committee on this. Did you?
We've gone to advisory committee. I was on the actual subcommittee that met 2 years ago that came out with a recommendation of only adding one new certification and not making any other changes. And that was presented to this group. So I don't understand where we're getting to today because it does not. The other committee that happened had everybody there. T-staff, so the firefighters were represented, the fire chiefs were represented, the fire marshals were represented, and y'all were represented. This latest committee, unfortunately, didn't do that. And while members of the Firefighter Advisory Committee called me and have talked to me and asked me for my opinion, it was a lot smaller group with less representation than the other committees we've had about this topic. Okay. Thank you for your time.
I'd like to thank Commissioner Gonzalez and his committee for the work they did. And I can say for the Texas State Association, we could be for putting them together like we talked about, one and two, and then making plans examiner mandatory, because then that you would get that if you got assigned to that. I'm still not for getting a fire inspector one only and putting personnel on the truck to go out and do those inspections with just that certification. So, you know, we've talked about it and looked at it, and I'm with Commissioner Gonzalez. I think this is a good, and, you know, you can get, you know, personnel through online or wherever else to get certifications. It's really hard to find classes to go to now with the 8-to-5 classes, so I'm still at a loss as to this has been for years that we're not sending people through. We've had departments do it, but me personally, I can support the Inspector 1 and 2 together and make a plan to stand alone, but I cannot support Inspector 1 only.
Okay.
Commissioners, Lori Christensen, representing the Texas Fire Marshals Association. I just wanted to discuss that last week at the conference, we did discuss this in detail, that this was going to be coming up. And we agree that one and two should stand as a combination, plan examiner being taken out. We have asked to be on the committee. We've asked to discuss these things. The Texas Fire Marshals Association hasn't been involved in these discussions as far as a committee, but what we will say is this. The state of Texas, as we know, is very large. We have various types of fire marshals offices, whether it be ESDs, volunteer, paid, or county fire marshals. Not every jurisdiction is going to have the opportunity to have truck inspectors or annual inspections. Many agencies are going to risk-based model inspections, which is becoming a national standard or type of inspection that they're doing. What we will say is when a company inspector certification were to come out and a company inspector goes into certain type of occupancies, having the one and two inspection, if they walk into that, they can go ahead and complete that type of inspection. So we will support the one and two staying together, the plan examiner being mandatory, and I'll accept any questions. Thank you.
You like this? You like what's been presented?
Yes, sir, I do. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Chief Christian, if you would, change your hat.
Yes, sir. I'll do that.
Harris County Fire Marshal support
do
mandatory.
Do I have to have another sheet?
No, I don't know.
Okay, thank you. Yes, sir.
Does Harris County Fire Marshal support this language?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Motion?
Yes, sir.
No. Comment, yeah.
My motion still stands.
Commissioner, you mentioned option one, which is voluntary.
Well, the mandatory.
You want mandatory, yes. Which is in our documentation as yes. option two. I just wanted to.
I'm sorry. I said that wrong.
That's what I was confused about. So it's option two is the
you
one.
You want option two mandatory.
Okay.
Is that a motion?
Wrong number, option two.
Okay. That's the one that we're in support
I'll
of.
Second, yeah. I'll second yeah. it as it's mandatory.
And we might talk in the future, when we're going on these rules, there was some confusion, I think, by some of my lawyers or stuff like that as a clear delineation of inspector and firefighter duties. But they're working on that now. So there may be something that they might want to run by y'all. But other than that, we're fine. As long as plans examiner is mandatory for reviewing plans, we're fine with it. So, all right, thank you.
Mr. I'm sorry. Before y'all vote, I have a couple of other items for y'all to consider. So, okay. Before you get to that point,
let me make sure we have the right motion and a second, and then we'll just have discussion.
Okay.
The motion is that we accept fire inspector. The Chapter 429 Fire Inspector Minimum Standards as Inspector 1 and 2 is a separate certification for fire inspector. And then plans examiner would be option 2 mandatory plans.
Correct.
Would be a separate certification.
Correct.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Now, discussion. Tim, you want to bring up some?
If I could. Commissioner Gonzalez had contacted us early this week and said he, and this is language that's in all of our chapters, this format of this language. In 429.1, it talks about appointment to duties and being certified within a year. And he had expressed to me that really the way it was all formatted was pretty confusing. So staff went ahead and created a revised version of 429.1 for your consideration. It doesn't change anything in terms of the intent that you see in 429.1. It's just different formatting. Little different verbiage, hopefully to alleviate some confusion.
And I can add to what Tim is part of the thing is I called a couple other commissioners, I called some advisory members, and I called some just general administrative chiefs and around the state and asked them for their opinion on what that means, and everybody had a different opinion. So when I hear that, that means that the language is not clear enough for that we can all understand it. So if I can't understand it, and I've been on the commission for 12 years, that's a problem. So we need to generate language that's very clear and people can understand it.
He informed me this morning that it's more clear than it was, so hopefully that will alleviate some confusion, yeah. And I would recommend to you all at this point that if you're good with this language, that we would go in, if you're going to vote to make plan examiner one mandatory, that we would use the same sort of a format. You'd allow us to make the change in there to this format for that plan examiner appointment language as well.
I know you guys are reading this, but in addition, this would you probably see this come if this language is acceptable. We have time to look at it over the time that this is publicized by the time we do final adoption in January for this change, but we would need to make these changes in several other mandatory certifications because it does exist in arson investigator, fire investigator, firefighter, several other certifications as well.
Yeah.
Any questions on what you're seeing there?
Do we need to revise
the motion?
The motion.
I think you're going to need to amend the motion if you're going to vote
include this language.
Yeah, with this.
And so moved.
And I do have one other item that y'all need to consider. And I wasn't going to bring it up until y'all were leaning toward the idea of doing mandatory plans examiner. And that is whether you want to consider individuals who may hold other credentials out there in the business other than our TCFP certification who would be allowed to do plans reviews. Right now, you're saying if you're going to do them, you have to hold this certification, the plan examiner certification. Do you want to consider allowing individuals who might hold
FPE?
Perhaps.
I would.
Would hold what?
Architects, whatever, you know, those kind of things.
Certified engineer. Whether it be a fire protection engineer.
What you can do if you want is if you want to direct us to get that language put together, we can get it presented to the advisory committee when this goes to them in December. You can see that, a little bit of an addition then in January.
I would just add to that NICET certification.
Say again?
NICET certification, 3 or 4. So I'm not... I'll consider that.
We will certainly be contacting y'all for recommendations on what should be listed there.
Yes, that'll work.
Contact. Okay.
Commissioner Anderson, you move to
amend
using
this language as presented
under 429.1.
Yes, sir.
And it would be for 420.
For both
429.201 as well.
That's great.
You second?
I agree, yes.
Okay. All right. Further discussion. Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. This is for publication.
Publication. This will go to the Firefighter Advisory Committee in their December meeting.
Do you want to propose the effective date of March 1st, 2019? You probably should have
put
that in your motion.
Might as well, yeah.
It's in the language currently.
Well, it only discusses people holding that certificate issued prior to that date. But I would recommend that y'all go ahead and propose a date specific on the effective date of this new chapter.
Is that March 2?
Make another motion.
You can make separate votes.
Yeah.
Separate motion.
But our recommendation would be to make this an effective date of March 1, 2019.
Okay. I'll move to make the effective date of this new subchapter March 1st, 2019.
Thank you, Bill.
I have a motion and a second.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 12, discussing the possible action regarding proposed amendments to 37 TAC, Chapter 439, examinations for certification.
Commissioners, based on what you just did, on page 52, we're making some minor revisions then to the examinations chapter. So I'm looking at 439.1G. We're just removing the plan examiner component from that particular exam.
Just for publication?
Yes.
Move for publication.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second to move Chapter 439, Subchapter A, examinations for on-site or delivery training. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. Item 13, discussion of possible action regarding proposed amendments to 37 TAC, Chapter 441, continuing education.
This one was really contingent upon what you decided to do with the plan examiner component. Since you decided to propose it as mandatory, then we do need to add a CE requirement for plan examiner, 2 hours a year for people appointed to that. So the change is in 441.25, page 65. We've added that.
And that's for...
This is all for publication.
Publication.
Yes.
Move for publication.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to move for publication. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 14.
Discussion and possible action regarding proposed amendments to 37 TAC, Chapter 459, Minimum Standards for Fire and Life Safety Educator Certification.
With this chapter, we're adding Fire Life Safety Educator 2 certification, so you're essentially going to do the same thing here that you did with the inspector chapter. You're going to vote to repeal the current FLSE chapter, replace it with one that has a subchapter A and subchapter B for each of those two certifications.
Move for publication.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to move for publication, Chapter 459. Any discussion? All approved? Approved? Or?
Aye.
Against? Motion carries. 15.
15. Discussion and possible action regarding the addition of classes or courses to the A list and B list for higher levels of certification.
We have three courses to recommend to be added to the A and B list. We have one NFA program, safety program operations. It's a six-day course. That would become an A list course. And then two courses offered by PEAKS, Rope Rescue Level 1 and Rope Rescue Level 2. Those would be considered B list courses. They're less than 40 hours is our kind of our breakover for A and B courses. So at less than 40, these would become B courses.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to add three courses to the A and B lists. Safety program operations by NFA, Rope Rescue Level 1, Rope Rescue Level 2, provided by TEEKS. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 17.
16.
Or 16. Excuse me.
Discussion and possible action on the review and evaluation by the Curriculum and Testing Committee regarding the International Code Council Inspector Certification Program.
I'm not sure that there's somebody here from the committee. The committee is still reviewing that information for the curriculum and testing process for all of that. So we're asking to
table
it. Yeah, until the January meeting, they'll have something for you in January.
So move.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to table item number 16 for future discussion. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. 17.
Discussion and possible action regarding Texas Government Code Chapter 419, Section 419.078, Fire Protection Personal Injury Data, recommendations to reduce injuries.
Yes. Board, previously you asked me to come back to you to discuss this matter. If you do want to discuss this matter in closed session, we can go into closed session under 551.071 of the Open Meetings Act for attorney-client consultation about this provision of law.
Okay. You want to do it in closed session?
Yes.
Okay.
No motion.
We'll move it to closed.
Okay. At this time, the board will move into closed session or 551.071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act. It is 11:10 a.m., and we ask that everyone in the public please leave the room. We will come back in open session afterwards. We anticipate this to be a short item.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We're returning from closed session at 11:27 a.m. and no action was taken during closed session. So we'll reopen item 17.
T Tim stepped out to get the documents that have come over from workers' comp. Apparently, some folks over at workers' comp have also been providing documents to a legislative committee or two who have also inquired about the subject of cancer claims made by firefighters, workers' comp claims. We went over there and met with workers' comp about this issue, and they have significant amount of information about it, but it's basically showing that about 10 to 20 firefighters each year are making a workers' comp claim for cancer-related injuries or illnesses. They are happy to share that information with us, but it may not be the most useful in terms of our recommendation about injury reporting.
Tim? I've got the one pager and the seven pagers. Did you want both?
I'm just going to tell them about the item and then we can print it for them. We're happy to print off the documents and give them to you in a bit from what we've received from them. They're the same documents that they provided to the legislative committee. Just telling them about it.
Okay. Go ahead. As far as what transpired?
What?
We had a good discussion with the workers' comp folks, and they're certainly willing to work with us on the information. They are understandably concerned that we don't about any information that we grab that could be considered privileged information or subject to HIPAA. It would seem to me like what we're looking for, at least, as I understand it, is kind of aggregate information that it wouldn't necessarily specify details. There were discussions even about, you know, if a particular department were identified or a city were identified, that would cause concern on their part even. That, you know, because of the relative few numbers of cancer diagnoses that are getting reported to them, it'd be pretty easy to figure out who it might be. So even that sort of thing was of concern to them. But I think if we're looking simply for aggregate data, general statewide data, they're happy to provide it. I'm printing some things right now if y'all want to have a look at it as we're discussing this.
Yeah, I think basically it's a question of what do you want to see in your injury report, and if this type of aggregate data first look is what you want to include for this next coming year, we can get you that. We think that's a good first step in working with them. And then, you know, what you would want to do maybe the year after, we can consider that as it arises. But it does seem that they're aware of this issue, workers' comp is. The legislature is aware of this issue, and we're aware of this issue. So I think, like Tim said, this is a good first step working with workers' comp to get the kind of general data that we were thinking you wanted. We can go into more specific data, but it's dependent upon what claims they have filed and, you know, what type of injury report do you want to see. If you want to see some scientific level of analysis of injury claims, and, you know, that's above and beyond the expertise we have in-house and are currently providing in the injury report.
So the first step you would recommend is just asking for the basic information or whatever they have to share with us?
We could visit with them. They have tons of information.
Okay.
They have far more than we would want to request. So I think we would probably
just
look at
the, what fits us.
Yeah,
best.
Look at the fields that we think, fields of information that we think would be useful, and then see if we can't get that information. That was kind of what I gathered. And they said we're welcome to get with them to do that.
Do we have to take action to make that happen?
You can just tell us you want cancer claims, us to work with workers' comp, and whatever workers' comp gives us and we put, you want to see it on next year's injury report. We can do that as a direction to staff generally.
Does that require a motion? No?
Just tell us if you want.
Okay.
It's not really like
being great.
Is that the pleasure of the
commission?
Good
direction to have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then I would like to direct staff to pull the cancer reporting, the basic cancer reporting numbers from workman's comp and add that to
whatever you see that future would help us.
Let me ask that we do this. Since our reporting year really begins in January, that runs January to December, I think we could probably between now and then meet with workers' comp again, determine the types of information we want to get from them. We could bring that back to you all, and I can report to you in the January meeting as to what we would recommend we get from them.
That sounds good.
And any kind of limitations we may be experiencing, whatever, anything that we run into in these meetings.
I mean, to be honest, they're happy to share everything with us. They're just worried about how we use it. They don't want us to identify anybody, right, that type of thing. So they're very happy to share information. They just don't want us putting out different than what they have or scope-wise identifying people.
No, that makes sense.
Commissioner Gonzalez, you have?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, I think I'm behind this, but I think this is really keeping this on the agenda. This is really step one of the long game, and I think that we've got to look at where we're going to go after we get the workers' comp, step one. Step two, do we require it from fire department or fire department reporting? And then how do we analyze it? So do we have full-time people? Do we look at a full-time analyst type position to analyze all of our injury data, to analyze the cancer data, to analyze what the recommendations are and things to move forward on from looking at national data, looking at state data? So is that an analyst type position? So we got to look at the short game. Let's get the information from the long game. How do we analyze it? How do we make recommendations?
I agree.
Mr. Reed.
Good day, Commissioners. Jim Reed, Texas State Association of Firefighters.
It's going. Yeah.
So my pitch to you is to make a cancer reporting mandatory. It's optional now, but making it mandatory. And even piggybacking on what Andrew and Tim have said, even the numbers that we get from Workman's Comp will not be accurate and full, because for every workman's comp one that gets filed, there's probably two that don't, for lack of a better term, because they don't want to go through workman's comp. They're scared of not getting a good enough doctor and just the stigma. So if we get some kind of a mandatory reporting in just aggregate numbers to start, I think that would be much better, and something that's in our charge. As I look at the presumptive statute, it actually identifies the fire commission and the definition of a firefighter in the presumptive statute for both cancer, AMI, and stroke. So I think it's well within our purview, but we should work towards mandatory reporting under the guidelines of what we're going to collect. I don't think that's in the flags up on cancer everywhere in this state. So, I mean, we've lost four in 4 years where I'm at. But multiply that times three of the ones, the other ones we know of, and then not counting the survivors that haven't even told us. So it's our time to do this. It's a function of what we do, because if we get certain kinds of cancers that we know are attributed to dermal absorption, we can look at gear and clean and different procedures that we have oversight over and maybe morph them, make them better, change it. So I also want to tell you that I've been selected or asked to serve on the National Cancer Registry Stakeholder Group for the Congress just passed. So, and one of the comments that was made is that we're kind of one of the models for the entire country because of our injury reporting system and what we do in our injury reporting. And while you may just think it's Texas specific, there are places around the country that are looking at us and modeling off of what we do in this commission. So it's a credit that everybody sitting here in this room that works here and everybody that's come before that's had the foresight to put this process in place. So, but I think in some fashion we need to have mandatory reporting. And while we may not get it all, just like the injuries, we'll get a lot more if we require it.
Thank you. All right, as we said, our first step is to go back and take a look with workers' comp, bring a report back to us on what you find in January, at the January meeting, and then we can go further from there. Does everybody agree with that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right.
Eighteen. Discussion and possible action on the appointment of a new member to the Firefighter Advisory Committee.
Okay.
You have one vacancy. What you have there before you are the three remaining individuals who you had considered previously.
Thank you.
And the votes that each of them had gained. And so what you're going to want to do is decide how you want to proceed with those three. Mm-hmm.
Okay, do we want to ask if these three are in attendance to have them step outside? Is that agreeable? All right, James Brent Parker, Wiley Fire Rescue, Vince Abrego from McAllen Fire Department, and Christopher Perez from Laredo Fire Department. If you are in the room, could I ask you to please step outside?
So we're going to give them the information they considered previously.
All right. So I'm going to open it up for discussion. We have three candidates that went through the interview process. You have the list here, and you have their votes or to the left on what they received. How do we want to handle this?
I do have a question, though, Tim. Who resigned?
Cano. Yeah, okay. This is for Phil Cano's position.
So right now we have no representative in South Texas.
Is that correct?
Let's see. How far south?
Chief Wisco to come up. Let's talk about the... Sorry, Chief.
That's always
been... You have Gonzalez.
Well, he's making his way. I'd recommend that we circle a name and just fold these up and hand them in.
Let me both.
Am I getting thrown out?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine with me if we want to re-vote.
I might need some help.
Ask him your question. Commissioner Lopez, did you ask if there was a South Texas representative on the...
Is there a South Texas representative? Well, Connor was it.
Connor was it.
Okay.
And that's the vacancy that he just announced.
Okay. We have a recommendation that you circle your choice on this sheet, fold it over, pass it up to me, and then I'll give the staff for count. Okay. Give it to Deb for count.
That's sending you a little package.
I want to be really good about it. One more.
Jody,
one
of my
warrior. Listen to that Spanish coming out.
Amen.
Do you want to take a few minutes?
Yeah, let's take a few minutes, let her count, and we'll report back and get the guy back in.
You're far left.
With 800 behind that one, and the two new apartment complexes.
Hardcore.
Booming.
Call the commission meeting back to order at 11:45 a.m. All right. Just so everybody knows the process we just went through, we had three members or three people that interviewed during our last round of interviews for the advisory committee that were still on the list. We have one position open. We had another vote here of the commissioners. And with the majority of the vote, Vince Abrego. Vince, congratulations. You were selected as the new advisory committee member.
Thank you. Thank you.
It works. All right. Item 19.
19. Discussion of possible action on matters from the executive director. A. Decisions of the executive director in contested cases and consent order.
Although neither of these I will mention, we did complete, we were acting on a complaint regarding the Houston Fire Department program for protective equipment. We completed that investigation. We're actually meeting with members of their executive staff tomorrow morning to go over the information and talk about the findings of the investigation.
Okay. Anything else?
No, sir.
Division, status of division functions.
You want to go to B? You ready?
Thank you. B, status of division functions.
I apologize that you don't have a written report there that got submitted to you in the notebook. Let me pass a few things on to you, though, that I think would be of interest to you. Just completing the fiscal year end of August for fiscal year 18, the agency conducted over 12,000 exams. That is a record.
Only.
We issued over 14,000 certifications. That is also a record. Approximately 12,800 of them came from our test. We issued around 900 certifications from TEEQ's Pro Board credentials, and then another 400 some odd from IFSAC seals. Online testing got underway May 1st. We now have 21 different tests available for people to take online via the online format. At last count, I think we had 18 locations around the state. A couple of the guys on staff are working right now to bring on two or three additional ones. All of these up to this point have been community college testing centers, so they're geared to do this. Their whole infrastructure is geared to do it, so it's been real easy to work with them. And what we found is they've been very anxious to work with us. So it's been really good. So we should have somewhere between 20 to 25 testing locations here, I'd say by the end of the calendar year anyway. We should.
Has online stuff been as great as you thought it'd be?
It absolutely is. It's everything that its potential was being cranked up to be. I may have shared this with you all a while back, but I'll share it again just for clarification on this thing. The very first person who tested took an online exam with commission back in May. One of our staffers had asked him to give us a call afterwards and let us know how it went. You know, whether things worked okay, whether there were things we needed to improve on. He said he took the exam at the testing center. He went back up front to check out. When he went to his locker to get his stuff out of his locker, you've got to leave your cell phone and other things in a locker. His phone dinged. It was a text from the commission indicating that he had passed his exam. So he hadn't even left the testing center yet when he found this out. He essentially said he could have, using his phone, he could have applied for the certification, paid for the certification, and had it issued before he left the parking lot.
Wow.
As opposed to a week to 10 days to 2 weeks usually a week to get results back in, just to get the results in from the test, and then the application process after that. So it's been phenomenal, really, as far as that goes.
That's great.
We've done something over around 450 exams so far online. Everywhere I go, I'm letting folks know they really need to look at this. It's well worth the convenience. Done about 450 so far, and it's really starting to pick up speed, so I'm excited about it. Other than that, I'll leave my report at that. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have about perhaps anything you've heard out there that we
talk about. You talk about full. Are we fully staffed? Recent retirements, new hires.
We did have Bob Manley, one of our compliance officers, retired just recently. In fact, his last week, I think, is this week, I believe. We've already brought Brian Maroney on board, and he's been shadowing. It worked out great the week we brought him on board. They were doing the Austin inspection, so he was able to join the crews here and go in there and do that. He's done some testing already. He shadowed somebody doing some testing, so we've already got a replacement for Bob. I think it's going to be pretty seamless as far as that goes.
Is he new to the commission, or is he?
Yes. We're still a person or two short right now. We're in good shape, though, as far as workload versus personnel. We're in good shape. The new data system really has allowed us to pick up some efficiencies that I anticipated would occur, but we really had to wait and see this thing roll out before we would know. And I think we're beginning to see that, so I think it's working real well for us.
Then I just wanted to add, I know we went over pretty quickly, but under the budget division, thank you for adding in the revenue comparisons.
Oh.
It's important. I think it's hard. You don't really get a good view of where you've been and where you're coming from without the 17 and 18 comparisons side by
yeah.
side.
Yeah.
And then the 18 measures, so that's the first we've been able, the first, you know, since our fiscal year ended, that's the first we were able to look at quarterly measures.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so while we might not talk about it, we appreciate it being in the background here.
Glad to do it. Yeah, the revenue thing, in fact, I was going to point that out. Y'all were moving pretty fast. I did want to point that out. We have done quite well in terms of revenue.
Yeah, it's that. I mean, $10,000 more than before.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
revenue that we can utilize in these areas that we need to talk about like him.
All right. Item 20.
Executive session pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.0741. For the discussion of personal matters regarding the appointment, employment, compensation, evaluation, reassignment, duties, discipline, or dismissal of the executive director and the appointment, employment, reassignment, or duties of personnel acting as an interim basis in this position.
Does anybody see a need to go into executive session? Item 21.
Open session for further discussion and possible action regarding preceding agenda item.
Anybody have any discussion on preceding agenda items?
Do we have executive director evaluation in January? I want to make sure we get that on the agenda, kind of late on it last year, and some edits are required document. Andrew, do you know January or maybe Tim on the evaluation document for you?
I have to look and see.
If you would, just as a reminder, we don't want to be late on that. I think we were last year. We want to make sure we get that and list that under executive session.
Okay.
I think it's January. Somewhere.
Should be. Anything else on open session? Anything from the audience? All right.
I move we adjourn.
Item 22.
Item 22. We have a motion to adjourn. Do I hear a second?
Second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Yay.
Yeah. Motion carries.
I got to be Democratic.
Mark him.
I know. And somebody's got to be Democratic around here.